listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. cbf.com.au.
Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. And being the fourth Wednesday of the month, we have with us the local MP, Cindy McLeish. Cindy, as you all know, is part of our local MP, part of the opposition spokesman for about three or four different portfolios. And welcome, Cindy.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here on this kind of hot and muggy afternoon.
It is, isn't it? Well, we were looking for a top of 26 and it's already hit 26. So I suspect it's going to go a bit warmer. Cindy, you've been had a little bit to do with Link.
Look, I was recently at Link, and I don't know if people know Link Church Services, the network in Yarra Valley, and headed out of the churches in the area, and they've got a whole bunch of churches that they all work together. But it's the work for the community and looking out for people that they, you know, do really well. And, you know, like there's 20 churches and Christian associations in the area that they work with.
Gee, that's unreal, isn't it?
Oh, it is. You know, you've got a couple of Presbyterians. We've got the Seventh-day Adventists. There's the Baptists, the River Valley Church in Millgrove. People would know those. There's the Baptist, and we've got Catholic churches, and Pilotti College up on the hills, up at the back of Millgrove, which is
part of it.
Sensational views. The Anglican churches, Seventh-day Adventists, you know, there's just so many, and you don't realise. And they all get together and, you know, they provide these community services.
And I guess they would have been had under a lot of pressure too for the last during the lockdown too, wouldn't they, with COVID?
Look, absolutely. And one of the things though that's tricky is because we hear a lot of times of people who are doing it really tough. You know, we had a lot of people that lost jobs, and I guess now, you know, people who aren't vaccinated are losing jobs left, right and centre, who just lost their income with that, or businesses who were really struggling, and people who didn't want to, you know, make themselves known. But these organisations that can help can't do it unless they know who they are.
That's true too.
And they'll do things really, really well with, you know, how they're dropping off food and collecting food. But I thought it was really interesting at their annual general meeting to hear some of their successes during the year. And, you know, they're probably not great at telling everybody their successes. And I did want to talk about it because it's services that happen in the background.
Yep.
And it's an important service, but we often forget about it.
And as you say, a lot of people, well, particularly the churches, they prefer to do it in the background, don't they? They just do it because that's what they want to do.
Yeah, yeah. And if they had a look at the 12 months ending the 30th of June, the July to September quarter last year, that was when things were really, really bad in Melbourne. And they helped 436 times the clients were assisted. So they had 168 clients for the year.
Yep.
So that's quite a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
But, you know, this will be helping with food mostly, you know. And
if you haven't got money, well, you can't buy food, can you?
No, and do you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be a lot of food either. You know, the loaf of bread and the 2 litres of milk and, you know, baked beans or slices of ham or whatever, all sorts of different things, fruit and veggies, actually makes a big difference.
Yeah. In a country like ours, you shouldn't have to do that, should you? But, I mean, the churches just do it all the time.
Yeah, they do it and they get on with it and they probably don't get that recognition, as I said. Second Bite, a lot of people would know the organisation Second Bite. They deliver two pallets to Millgrove and Yarra Junction, and then the Yarra Junction guys, they put them aside for Woorialic and Wandon, and then they're delivered by Eastern Food Share. So, you know, like it's a really great little network.
Yep.
But if people want to donate and or pick up, the pickups are from the Redwood Centre on a Tuesday. Millgrove, there's pickups on a Thursday and Yarra Junction on a Friday. But if you give Link a call, if you know, really in need of assistance, you can do it quite quietly, you know, because they have people just come in and out, just, you know, just quietly. Just do it.
Oh, that's terrific, isn't it?
And look, one of the other things that I thought was pretty extraordinary is they weighed up the kilos.
True, yeah.
Yep, almost 179 kilos of food.
Food. Just
179 kilos.
Gee, that's terrific, isn't it?
You know, that's certainly a lot, you know, and they've got the 29 volunteers who help do that, again, out of Yarra Junction, Millgrove, Woori and Wandon.
And just turn up and do it.
Yeah, just turn up and get on with it. And one of the things is, you know, people often say with charities, well, what's the value? How much do you contribute? So other than the volunteer time, you know, it's difficult kind of to work out exactly how much the food costs are. Yep. But they've worked out, they've kind of sort of, well, $1.50 per kilo because you've got all sorts of stuff in there.
Yep.
That the residents gained about $254,000 of food that was...
And that's probably underestimated too, wouldn't it?
And given that that's there's 168 clients, you know, that's really helping people out that need it. And I congratulate Link for the work that they're doing. And, you know, we often put people in touch with them and ring up. But each of those churches plays a role and does...
That's terrific.
Does really well.
Cindy, you're off to some event this afternoon.
Some event. I'm off to a big celebration, sure. Alan.
Sorry about that.
A big celebration at YRAC. I don't know if people know that YRAC is the Yarra Rangers Enterprise Centre, and it's down in Warburton, Woods Point Road, on the old Board of Works site.
Oh, yep.
And it's like little business incubators, all these... businesses that were working at home that were too big for the kitchen table, the dining room table or the shed, or people that, you know, needed a little small office space. And they've been there for a while now, and it was on state-owned land, but there's a big celebration today because they now own the property.
Do they? That's terrific, isn't it?
It is. It's been a long journey, but it's been good.
Oh, that's terrific. So it really makes it... their home, doesn't it? Like, they don't have to be worried about at some stage being put off or anything like that.
No, and when you've got small spaces and, you know, people might be just setting up a business and it might go really well, and then they pretty quickly know that they need to move, but it allows that flexibility. And there's lots of little businesses set up there, and it's in such a tranquil part of the corner just on Woods Point Road there.
That's
and
terrific.
They were started in Lilydale in 1998. That's like 23 years ago.
Yep.
But they moved to the current site in Warburton 17 years ago. But it was owned by the state. Melbourne Water took it over from the Board of Works.
Yep.
And a few years ago, state as they do, they're flogging off all their assets. They wanted to get rid of this. And I got a call from Alison Fitzgerald, who is the CEO down there. And she said, oh, we need this. We need to stay here. We need to keep here. Is there any chance that we could, you know, purchase it? What's the process? So I raised it in Parliament, and I raised it with the Minister for Planning, who had the carriage of that. And, you know, because they really wanted that continued occupancy. They didn't want to have to pack up. And anyway, so I did that on 21st of June, 2017. 4 years ago, four and a bit years ago, and today they're having their celebration of ownership. Sure. So the minister was really good when I spoke to him about it, and I spoke to him about it before I raised it in Parliament, and I said, Dick, you know, you've really got to support this one. It's a really great thing for the community.
Yep.
And
that's
so,
true.
Yeah, so today they're having the celebration.
Well, it is a big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal. And so we'll have council representatives. I'll be there. Tony Smith, who's the federal member, he can't be there because he's just finished up a speaking yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. Yep, saw that.
But I thought it was interesting too that no one from DELP is actually attending because of COVID restrictions. And I thought, well, we're kind of out of COVID restrictions and every other man and his dog's attending.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that DELP could have attended, and if they were worried, they could still, you know, maintain distance and masking, even though, you know, it will be outdoors.
Yep.
So I'm very much looking forward to that because it's all sorts. You know, there's woodworkers and there's furniture restorers and there's printers and, well, this is last time I was there, little oils, lawyer, like, you know, a bit of everything, but everyone who needs a small bit of space and in such a great setting. I'm really, really thrilled.
And I guess part of it is, isn't it, like as they grow bigger, then they will go off and get probably commercial premises, won't they, as the business grows.
Absolutely, and there's a young gentleman down there who restores furniture, and I meant to bring a chair down today. And I'll be in trouble because I've been meaning to do something with it for ages, and I thought, yeah, he's a young bloke starting out in furniture repair, and I've seen some of the work that he's done previously.
It's terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit of everything down there. So I think it's good for everyone to be aware that there's this little hub, this real little business hub, small business hub, just down there opposite the caravan park. Opposite the caravan park. So I believe Dave Pratt from the caravan park today will be the MC. And so I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I'm intrigued. We were talking to Siri in the last hour, and we were talking about gingerbread houses and about families going down to, during December to build these gingerbread houses. Cindy, you want to talk about gingerbread houses too.
I'm most impressed that Siri are doing gingerbread house making. I think what a fabulous activity for the family.
Well, the young people could go and make the gingerbread person, as I understand, but the families are quite welcome to go down and build the house between them.
Oh, look, excellent work. Excellent work. Every year at Christmas, I donate gingerbread houses to the primary schools.
I do.
Let me tell you, it's an effort. The donation bit's not the effort, it's the distribution. And so, you know, we had several suppliers that would make these gingerbread houses. Yeah. And the primary schools all know that they expect
they're coming.
That they're coming. And yeah. If anyone from the schools are listening, they're being some are being delivered today by one of my staff, and yeah. I'm delivering some this afternoon.
Oh,
and another one of my staff who lives over near the Kangaroo Ground is delivering them. But we've had Wild Grains in Healesville have whipped us up 24 gingerbread houses for the Yarra Rangers and Nillumbik Shires. And, yeah, so the problem then becomes they don't, you know, they're big, they're bulky, they're great,
yep.
And they want them, takes up a lot of room, so the bakery, like, we need to get rid of these. So every year at this time, my office, the big table in the middle is just covered with these, and we embark on the process of distributing them to the primary schools. So that's happening right now. And the primary schools, some of the small primary schools, you know, they'll raffle them. They all use them for different things.
Yep.
And, yeah, they might make a few $100s, and that's great.
Well, it's money they wouldn't have otherwise, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I really enjoy doing that, and I know the schools go, oh, fabulous, here it is. We wondered what day it was coming.
So they're, if they haven't got them yet, they're coming very quickly.
They're coming very soon. Yeah, we picked them all up yesterday. Denise was out this morning. I'm doing some this afternoon before I go down to Warburton for Wyrek. And, yeah, we'll just – I think I'm doing some on Friday morning too up at Flowerdale, Tullangi and Kinglake, you know, so I'm pretty busy. But the other thing I do at this time of year as well is the Christmas cards, and I always have a primary school design.
Oh, I remember
the Christmas
that.
Cards, yep. Yes. And I used Panton Hill this time.
Terrific.
And last year I used Yarra Junction, and we had some, yep. You know, like we get some really great entries, you know, and it's a bit tricky because you can't just get the kids to draw on a, you know, a big piece of paper or even an A4, you've got to get them to draw on the size of the card. And we say to the teacher, make sure that they fill it all in. The ones that have got all colour, you know, look really, really good. And because it's just post-COVID and schools are getting back on their feet trying to work out, you know, who's Arthur and Martha and what's going on, Panton Hill said, oh, we only had time to do the grade threes to the prep down to the little ends. And I have some fabulous entry. So yeah, it's so good. So the kid who gets on the front cover gets a, I can't remember if it's 24 or 36 Derwents, and the others get packets of 10, you know, the ones that get featured small on the inside and on the back of the cards.
That's terrific.
Yeah, it's great. It's a lot of fun.
And it's great for the young people too to see that, hey, this one got on next year, so maybe it's my turn next year. So they try a bit harder next year.
Yeah, look, hopefully. Like when I did Yarra Junctions last year, you know, I also give the kids their pack of 10 of the cards so that they can send it to Nana and Auntie, you know, Uncle
that's
Joe
terrific.
And all these sorts of people and keep a few. And that's really lovely too. And we go to a bit of an effort in the office to do that, but it's fun. And I like Christmas.
Oh, so do I.
Yeah.
Best time of the year.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Mm. And Christmas Day, I'm a big fan of all about Christmas and having a Christmas tree up and the decorations. And from the 1st of December, I'm not sure when ours is going up this year, but been a bit busy. But, you know, doing the things with the schools, the cards and the gingerbread houses, you know, I like to help feel like everybody's in the spirit of Christmas.
And let's be honest, this year, everybody, the young people, mums and dads, they need a lift, don't they?
Oh.
Absolutely needs a lift.
Absolutely need a lift.
Cindy, you want to bring us up to date on the vaccination rates for the area, please?
Well, I did, because the vaccination rates are looking quite good at the moment. This is statewide.
Yep.
93.1% over 16, so not over 12, but over 16. Have one dose, and 89.6. So we're almost at 90.
Just about hit the 90, haven't we?
And we're expected to hit that very soon. Very soon. Yep. And we possibly could even be there now, because they put the results out on Monday, the 22nd of... So every Monday
So we're halfway there for the week, so it could be the 90.
Yeah, but when I flick down the list by council, you know, it's incredible that the number of councils that are already over 95% double vaxxed.
That's
half,
terrific.
I'd say half. The ones that are lagging are really the inner cities.
They're letting us down, are they?
City of Melbourne, City of Yarra. But I look here, of my four councils that I've got, Mansfield, Murrindindi, Nillumbik and Yarra Ranges. So Mansfield and Nillumbik are both over 95. So they don't say it's 96.2 or 95.4. Oh. They just say greater than 95.
Oh, yep.
So Mansfield and Nillumbik are all double vaxxed, 95%. Murrindindi, 93.2 double vaxxed. Yarra Ranges, 91.7. So, you know, it's getting up there. It's getting up there. You know, that's why the restrictions are coming off.
Yep.
And I am told that the third shot, the booster, gives an even stronger protection. So,
is it?
Yeah, that's what...
Cindy, have you been told yet, once you have the booster this year, it's not going to be every 6 months, is it? Because we've had the two, then the 6 months. After that, is it just going to be yearly, do you know? Or?
No, I don't know at this stage. And we're watching what happens overseas because they were ahead of us anyway in the curve. And, you know, they've got a winter season coming up as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens
during that time
over there in winter. But, you know, it depends whether people stay home because it's so freezing.
And, of course, they were saying, and, of course, any of these different so-called experts, some of them vary. Some say that once you've had the three, you shouldn't need any more for a few years. Others are saying, well, no, you should have it every year.
So. Yeah. The briefing I had the other day was that the third shot will give a really strong protection. And you know, they certainly wanted everybody to get two shots because that's greater protection. Yep. But, you know, it begs a question now that we're knocking on the door at 95%. And I look at so many of the country towns, smaller areas, got there really quickly.
Yep.
And of course there are people who can't get vaccinated, and you know, I've heard from quite a number of them who can't get a medical exemption because they don't quite fit the category, but they've had a really bad reaction and their doctors have said, I wouldn't be having the second dose if I were you. There's quite different circumstances of things that have happened, but they don't fit that box. Yeah. Qualifies you for the exemption. The doctors said, well, I can't, because you have to reach this and this and this for the exemption, but you fit over here. And so, you know, we're advocating to the minister for a few of those people. And, of course, there are those who are philosophically opposed to all vaccinations, including childhood, and then also those who think that they've got the freedom to choose, and some people who say, look, you know, I'm happy to have the flu shot, I'm happy to have the childhood vaccinations because they've been tested over a long period, and some of the others haven't. So, you know, you've got in the mix all of those different categories.
So there's probably going to be 4% to 5% that either have an exemption or have been told not to have one?
Look, I'd say so. Yeah. It's interesting, though, when you look at the lowest rates, you know, like in the city of Yarra, city of Melbourne, you know, they're, you know, really quite low. Who else? Stonington, you know. They're just 80. City of Yarra is 77%, you know. But they're nearly all double vaccinated too. 77% are single, 75.3% double. That might not get much higher.
No.
But in some of those inner city areas, that's where people don't get their children vaccinated as well. So
yes, I've heard that. Yep.
So, you know, we're not going to get everybody vaccinated, but I think you can't keep everybody excluded from society.
No,
either.
It amazes me that how much we're trying to exclude them. To be honest, I mean, I'm doubly vaxxed.
So I'm
not an anti-vaxxer. I'm not doing that. But I'm just not sure how you. I heard a case the other day where they've got, I think, three children. Two of them aren't old enough to be vaxxed, so they can go into a restaurant with mum and dad because mum and dad are doubly vaxxed, but one of the other children isn't doubly vaxxed, doesn't want to be doubly vaxxed, and they're not allowed to go in with the parents.
Look, you know, and it's getting quite extraordinary at the minute. The Premier's talking about, you know, kids 5 to 11 being vaccinated as well. You know, none of the health bodies have come out and said that's a good idea or not a good idea, but, you know, it doesn't seem to be happening. But now you know, we've had a really big mix-up in the last 2 weeks about what with kids who aren't vaccinated at schools.
Yep.
Yeah, they're allowed to go to school, but what are they allowed to do? Well, they weren't allowed to do this, they weren't allowed to do that. They couldn't go on an excursion, they couldn't go on a camp, they couldn't do all these things. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, yes, they can. And it's this lack of certainty, you know, they're kind of making it up a bit as they go along, and that's really confusing. We've had extraordinarily at Little Athletics a few weeks ago, kids were turned away because their parents weren't vaccinated.
Yeah.
And the parents are like, hang on a minute, and they said, well, all volunteers have to be vaccinated. And they said, well, we're not volunteering. It's like, well, you're here though. It's like, well, you're allowed to watch, but. And then that quickly had a big backflip.
Yeah.
Just last weekend, basketball, gymnastics, indoor apparently they've redefined community sport. So what you and I think community sport is what not what the government thinks at the minute. Community sport's only something that's played outdoors, like footy and cricket and hockey and soccer. It's not basketball, netball, gymnastics, calisthenics, where you're in a stadium or swimming. And so, you know, you've got all of these kids now being told you can't participate in this, you can't go to a swimming pool, you can't do all this unless you're doubly vaxxed. And so, you know, in places where, you know, you could have 96, 97% people vaccinated, New South Wales are changing.
Yeah.
Middle of December. They had hoped early December, but they're looking at all restrictions being removed. So they're saying enough of the population is vaccinated. Let's all, we don't have to, you know, have our show our things all over the place. Yeah. We can just get on with it. And we're going to have to get to that.
Cindy, you want to talk about staff shortage. Every time you go past a cafe, restaurant or lunch shop, everybody wants staff.
And it doesn't matter whereabouts in the state you are, Alan.
True.
Doesn't matter. Yep. They've all, you know, it seems to have all dried up, particularly the hospitality sector. Yep. And, you know, our cafes and our restaurants, and we've got lots of vineyards here that, as you know, bigger.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, they've got to get grapes picked and fruit orchards are ready to have their fruits ripening, cherries and stone fruit, the summer fruit that we love. Yep. You know, we've all got to have staff to do this sort of stuff. So, you know, there's shops, all the shops have got vacancies as well. And as I said, the seasonal workers. And there's quite a number of reasons why that's the case. And, you know, we're out here in the Yarra Valley, but also in the CBD. You know, they really have a lot of international students that pick up a lot of those jobs. They're not there. We have a lot of backpackers. And I know, you know, people that go and backpack around Europe and they might work in France for a few months or different areas and get work while they can or in the UK and have a great experience. And we don't have those backpackers. We don't have our kids going away.
Yep.
We don't have others coming here. And, you know, you're more likely to get a job fruit picking if you're an Australian, you go backpacking in France. You're more likely to do that than you're Australian and you decide you go up to Mildura for a month or two. But there are some schemes. We haven't been quick on bringing the seasonal workers over, but I think I really want people to think about when you go into a cafe or restaurant particularly and the staff aren't as skilled, you know, they haven't taken the plates away as quickly because they haven't realised, because they haven't, you know, worked in that field for a long time. What a lot of venues are doing is they're not even opening all the time.
No, I've heard that on one of the last public holiday, that some of them were shut because they just couldn't get enough staff to operate.
And on a public holiday, the wages are really, really expensive. So you've got the double whammy there. But some places might only open now Thursday to Saturday night rather than Tuesday to Saturday, or they're only opening for dinner, not for lunch, or only for lunch, not for dinner, because they just can't get the staff and they can't wear themselves into the ground. Now, COVID changed a lot of things and we had a lot of people exit the industry, a lot of people that knew what they were doing.
Yep.
Because of the uncertainty, there was no work. All the cafes and restaurants were shut, so they couldn't do anything. So they all got jobs learning how to, you know, do COVID testing or doing contact tracing. You know, the government employed a lot of people.
Yep.
And, you know, for some people it was more secure and possibly better money, and they haven't come back. And we all want to go to cafes. We all want to go to restaurants. But we have to have the staff. And so, you know.
And be patient.